Galatians chapter number 1. Paul is writing to the church here in Galatia that is struggling in some areas. False teaching has come in, and I want to look at chapter 1 this evening. And, you know, things are transpiring in our world all around us in a dangerous way, really. I don't know. I am a news junkie. I like the news. I like to listen to it, and then I don't like what I hear. Anybody else like that? You know, things like Russia establishing a military base in Syria. You know, those types of things we need to be aware of. And, you know, the end is coming soon. Those of us that are saved, we need to realize that things are setting up just like the Bible says they're going to. It's important that we as Christians are guarded, though, in firm, we're grounded firmly in the Word of God. Because we know this in end times and last days that we're going to, some are going to be believing false doctrine and false teaching. And we need to be grounded in the Word of God and not become a victim to false teaching. And that allows us to be strong witnesses for Christ. And the Lord's coming back. Do we believe that? He's going to rapture His church out. And we want to be active and involved in sharing the gospel with as many as we possibly can until that day comes. And here we find here, and I say all that for a reason here this evening, as we look at Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says in verse 6, though I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which are apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after these 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Father, would you help us tonight as we study your word? I pray as your return approaches, we'd be found faithful, that we'd be firm in what we believe. We would not allow false teaching and false doctrine to come in and separate us. That we'd have a burden for souls. We would preach with boldness the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd bless this time this evening. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul sets out in Galatians chapter 1 to show his identity in Christ, and he reveals who Christ is. I want us to pay close attention here in verse number 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by God, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This is an important verse as Paul lays this out in Galatians, is because Paul is identifying something, and he's identifying who he is in Christ, and he's also telling us who Christ is. You know, we live in a world today that we can pray, we can have a religion, but for some reason, it's offensive if we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what's offensive today in the world we live in today? What's offensive is the fact that we believe in the deity of Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And that is offensive to people today. There's so much that's said. Even today I read some things where it's okay to have freedom of religion, but it's not okay, it seems. As soon as we start to preach Jesus Christ, it seems like we're shut down, that we're shut out. We're narrow-minded. If we believe that Jesus is God, we become narrow-minded. Now, if he's a good man or a good prophet or a good teacher, that's okay. But when we say that Jesus Christ is God, that is offensive to many. But the truth of the matter is this, it's truth. There's no getting around the fact that he is God. And our salvation is in Jesus Christ, in that there is only one way to heaven, it is through Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. And Paul is establishing here, as he begins to write to the church here in the book of Galatians, he's establishing who Jesus is, who called him, who gave him that authority to be apostle. Jesus Christ did, and Jesus Christ has that authority because Jesus is God. He has that authority because of that. And so Paul is going to address some things that false things that are happening and being taught here. And so he's establishing, number one, who he is. His identity is in Christ. He's establishing this, that Jesus Christ is God. He's called of God. He's called of Christ here in verse number one. And therefore, what he's going to say and what he's going to teach is not of man. It's not even of himself. It's of God. And so he gets into this portion of Scripture here in chapter 1, verses 2 and on, and begins to instruct them and identify himself with Christ. It's been established that Paul, in verse number 6, I want you to look there, I marvel that ye have so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is establishing that there is something doctrinally wrong going on. And Paul is going to straighten that out. He's going to help the church here understand and get back to what they originally believed and was originally taught. And he says in verse 3, grace and peace. He's offering to you only can come, though. We see grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying grace and peace, but we must understand this, that this grace in this peace can only come if we have the right position on who Christ is and who God is. The only way for someone to have peace in their life is to understand what Jesus Christ has done for them and who he is. People seeking peace. Today in America, crowds lined up searching for answers and searching for peace, and they're going to walk away empty unless they find peace. And true peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And when Paul is establishing this here, Paul is saying in the first 12 verses of Galatians here, he's identifying himself with Christ. He's establishing the deity of Christ. His calling is from Christ. His security is in the finished work of Christ. Verse number 4, who gave himself our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Where does Paul find his security? He finds his security in Christ. What Christ did. I'm not good enough to save myself. There's nothing I can do. As much as I try to give, as much as good works I try to do, as much as I try to serve, none of that is good enough to save a person. Our security isn't in who we are. Our security is in who Christ is. And so Paul's establishing this. Paul is then going into, like I said in verse 6, he's saying, I marvel on, you're so soon removed. He warns the church that if anyone comes in and preaches anything false in verse number 8 and 9, that they're to be accursed and they're to be removed and not to believe what's being taught. The world, as we are coming to the end, as Christ's return is getting closer and closer, we as a church need to realize there's going to be an onslaught against the church. There's going to be false teachers that want to come in and sidetrack the church. And we need to be firm and solid in the doctrine of the Word of God. We need to be deeply grounded. Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we put our faith in what we are putting our faith in? We need to be able to give an answer. We need to be able to show in the Bible why we believe and in what we believe and be grounded in the doctrine of the Word of God, because in the end times, things are going to get worse. And Paul here, in order for us not to stray in our doctrine, we must first set out to have a clear understanding who Jesus Christ is and His suffering in our salvation. In verse number 4, clearly says who that is. I want us to look at a few things just for sake of time. I want us to look at some thoughts that have helped Paul and changed Paul in salvation. I believe this, that salvation changes a person, don't you? A person that's lost and in on their way to hell trusts Christ as their Savior. They are changed. The Bible says they're a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Salvation is not just making a decision to do better things in life. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf, or salvation isn't trying a new experiment. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's realizing that I'm a sinner and the payment for my sin is death. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross. That plus nothing and minus nothing is sufficient to be the payment for my sin. And by faith, when I trust Jesus Christ, I'm born again. That's salvation. And Paul addresses and shows us in chapter number 1 here in the book of Galatians what happens to a person once they're saved. What identifies them? What changes inside of them? I want us to see in verse number 14, the Bible says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Paul is going, in the beginning, he's saying, this is who's called me. This is who my identity is in. This is who Christ is. This is what's happening in my life. This is my calling and who it's from. And I want to set some things straight. There's some doctrine that's come in that's false. And someone's teaching you some things. We need to get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing? It's Jesus and what He did on the cross, and that alone is where we get salvation. He says, once that's firm, once that's established, once we're sure of that, I want to show you some things that happen in the life of a Christian when they're saved. Paul begins to tell us in verse number 13 and 14, he says, "You've heard about my conversation in time past with the Jews. You heard about my testimony. You know that I used to be around some folks that were persecuting Christians." There are some things that have changed now. One of the things that Paul is identifying and showing the church here that is different, he says this, "My companions have changed. The things I used to do, the people I were around, the associations I once had when I was lost, they're no longer those who I'm around anymore." The reason why is this: we were going one direction together and we were not going the direction of Christ. But when I was saved, something changed, something happened. Those that I used to be with, those that persecuted Christ, those that persecuted those that named the name of Christ, they are no longer those of my companions. See, I believe this, as we see in Galatians chapter 1, that a child of God, someone that's saved, that who they're around and what they expose themselves to is different than before they were saved. Here he once held company with the Jewish elite, the Bible said. Those that persecuted Christians, now because of his identity in Christ, he is accompanied by those that he now calls brethren.
You see, I see this that happens when a person's saved. In order for a person to continue to grow and continue to be what God desires for them to be, their associations, they're putting themselves in a place where they can begin to learn in a deeper relationship with the Lord. His companions are different. We need to be sure that we are putting ourselves in a place where we are being encouraged to believe what we believe, that we're being challenged, that we're growing in the area of our Christian walk with the Lord. Paul here, who he used to be around has changed. His interests have changed. His purpose in life has changed. His dreams all changed. Think about this. The Apostle Paul dreamed of murdering Christians. He thought that he was doing the Jewish faith, the Jewish religion, a favor by killing Christians. Everything about Paul changed the day he got saved. Listen, brother and sister in Christ, the day we get saved, what we think and how we dream and our purpose in life, all of that ought to change the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. Because now there's something different inside of us. The Holy Spirit of God now is dwelling inside of us and leading us. We now have a relationship with the Father because of Jesus Christ. Our purpose in life should be different. Our interest should be different. And now Paul is identifying himself with Christ and those that also identify themselves with Christ. You know, I believe this, as the time gets difficult and persecution comes, we ought to boldly identify ourselves with other believers. It's not time for us to shy away from being a Christian. It's not time for us to say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm just going to live a private Christian life, and I don't really need to impact anybody else. No, the opposite needs to happen. We need to have a boldness about us. We ought to identify ourselves. I am with Christ. I stand with Christ. My life is in Christ. My identity in Christ. My interest is in Christ. My purpose in life is in Christ. Everything's different the day I get saved because my identity is now in Christ and I was never identified in Him before. Tonight, we need to see that Paul, his companions, have changed because of his identity in Christ. I see in verse number 18 and 19, we can even by name see some men. The Bible says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. He abode with him 15 days. But after the apostle saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Here are two people that Paul never would have identified himself with outside of the fact he's now identified in Christ. You know, one of the wonderful things about a local New Testament church is who comes together because of the cause of Christ. Think about this. I would never have moved my family to Ohio, to this north part of Ohio, except for one reason: our relationship with Christ. There are people that have different jobs and different interests, and what brings us together, what brings us together in prayer, what brings us together in fellowship, what brings us together and encourages one another, what brings us together is the cause of Christ and us, the fact that we identify now ourselves in Christ. Our companions are different because of who we are in Christ. I want us to see as well, look with me, if you would please, in verse number 15, the Bible says, let's back up to 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equal in mine own nations, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. You know, here we find this, because of Paul's identity in Christ, his calling now in life has changed. Christian, you have something special now that God has called you to. When you got saved, God has now called you to something. There's a purpose in every single Christian's life. Now, that's something that we ought to get a hold of and ought to excite us. You know, we go through life and people feel lonely and people feel discouraged and people look at life and say, what's the point? What's the use of living? We as Christians, we know this. The moment I got saved, the moment Paul got saved, he said, my calling has changed. I used to do something. I used to be something. But now that I'm saved, God's got a purpose for me. You know what excites me? I think it ought to excite every Christian. There is going to be people in heaven that we have led to the Lord and shared Christ with, and they're going to spend eternity in heaven because our calling in life has changed. There's going to be people that we're serving that we'd never have an opportunity to serve before because our calling in life has changed. Life isn't the same like it used to be. If life is the same as it was before you got saved, there's something wrong. You've got a purpose now in life. Every person here tonight, every church member of this church has got to see that the moment you got saved, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You are important to God. Church, we need to be sure that we're fulfilling that calling upon our life. I had a wonderful, wonderful meeting last night with our advisory board men and just kind of laid out a few things where I'd like to see our church in the area of discipleship and soul winning and had a great conversation with them. And the fact of the matter is this, I shared with them, I believe that everybody in the church ought to have a job, ought to be fulfilled, ought to be doing what God called them to do. It's our responsibility as a church to be sure we're helping other people fulfill what God has called them to fulfill. Somebody walks in our door, it's not just another face, it's not just a number, it's someone that got a calling on their life, and this might be the place they need to be serving. Listen to me, church, tonight, I would ask you to ask yourself this: what has God called me to do? I'm saved. I'm a part of a New Testament church. What am I doing? What's my purpose? What am I doing to point others to Christ? What am I doing to fulfill God's calling in my life? God didn't just save you to sit you down. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for something important. And what He saved you to do is important. And we need to be sure we're fulfilling what He's called us to do. Aren't you so glad that Paul didn't get saved and just went back down and sat? I mean, we have the Lord used Paul through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen the New Testament. Aren't you glad that Paul noticed and realized that my calling has changed now? Now that I'm saved, I used to persecute Christians. I used to murder Christians. I used to spend my life tracking down Christians and making sure they no longer spoke about Jesus. But I got saved. And now that I'm saved, God's using me to preach to the Gentiles. He's using Paul to write scripture. And we, because Paul was willing to be used of God, because Paul was able and willing to fulfill the calling God had in his life, we now as Christians can benefit from Paul's life. Christian, how many people are benefiting? How many people are benefiting because you are fulfilling what God has called you to do? How many lives this week, you're sitting in the middle of the week here, how many lives this very week their destiny was hell and they were hopeless without Christ, and because of your calling, because of your passion, because of what God has put on your heart, now that you're saved, you have presented a Christ to a person that was hopeless. You presented hope. You presented a solution to the problem, and that solution is Jesus Christ. How many people are we impacting every day of our life because we're fulfilling our calling? How many could we honestly say we're doing that? I believe each and every one of us ought to take that and look in that mirror and say, am I doing the calling that God has upon my life? You know, I find this to be true as well. Look with me in verse number 13. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Verse number 16, he now says, now I to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. He uses that word conversation. In 13, he says, you heard about what I used to talk about. Now he says in verse 16, now you hear what I am talking about. What I used to have a conversation about, I no longer have. I used to conspire and say, where are the Christians and how are we going to kill them? Now I'm preaching, where are the sinners and how are we going to preach Christ to them? I used to want to persecute. Now I want everyone to know what Jesus Christ has done for them. His conversation is changed. Paul tells us this, my companions have changed and my conversations have now changed. I want you to listen to these verses, if you would please. Ephesians 2, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh in the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our conversation in times past. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of the affairs that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In James 3:13 it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In 1 Peter 1:15, the Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? In all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 3:2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. In 2 Peter 3:11, the Bible says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conversation and godliness? Listen, it's not just that he's cleaned up his mouth. It's that he's become a trumpet of the gospel. Think about it now. He said, my conversation, and throughout the New Testament, we find a born-again believer, their conversation is different. What ought to identify a Christian is the things they say. We put away what we used to talk about. We put away lust and filthiness. We put away things that our old nature used to be involved in. Now that Paul is saved, he says, there's something new I talk about. I didn't just clean up my act. Now I'm becoming a trumpet. What I say is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, Christian. We conversate about a lot of things. We have a lot of conversations. We need to be sure that what we're saying is preaching boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I'm a different man now. What is coming out here? And we realize this, in order for it to come out of here, there's got to be something different here. We're showing compassion one to another. You know, when difficult times come and heartache comes and sorrow comes, what is our conversation? It ought to be this. Even though I'm in a season of my life where things are hard, the Bible still says that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can take confidence in this. I'm not going to talk down about God. I'm not going to talk down about his provisions. I'm not going to talk down about his grace. I can with boldness say, even in the valley, God is good. My conversation is going to be holy because of my identity in Christ, my conversation changes. You know, Christian, it's not for us just to talk about God when things are good. Because the fact of the matter is this, in many Christians' lives, things aren't always good. When things are bad, God is good. When things are good, God is good. When things we like, God is good. When things we don't like, God is good. When people hurt us, God is good. When people are good to us, God is good. No matter what happens in our life, what we think is good or what we think is bad, our conversation ought always to magnify Jesus Christ. Always magnify. Well, you don't know what happened. You don't know what they've done. You don't know the situation. Listen to me. We don't have to know the situation. If we're identified in Christ, our conversation ought to constantly be promoting who Jesus Christ is. I told you, I don't know if it was when I was candidating or maybe when I was here this past August. My wife, her brother,
this coming next couple weeks, October 3rd, be the 1-year anniversary of her brother's death. And those of you that have lost people you love, it's hard, isn't it? Maybe there's someone in here that's lost a job. Maybe there's someone in here that a friendship is hurting. Maybe there's someone in here, your marriage is going through some battles. Maybe life, like you planned it, is nothing like that. I mean, you had it all planned out, only to find God rewrote your life. You know what a world needs to see? Born-again believers, their conversation exalting a Christ, even when life isn't the way we planned it. Even when someone treats us wrong, even when someone offends us, even when someone has hurt us, even when death comes to our family, even when sickness comes and that word cancer comes and a loss of a job comes and a wayward child comes, and when all those things happen in our life, our conversation has got to be that God is still good. God is still holy. My conversation can't be the way I'd handle it before I was saved. My conversation's got to be that God is still on His throne, that Jesus is still this in the saving business, that Jesus is still God. He's still saving the lost. The blood is still enough to pay my sin debt. And when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. God is good no matter what happens here on this earth. God is good. And Paul says, my identity in Christ changed my conversation. And I'm done with this. I want you to look with me in verse number 23. Paul says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. You know, Paul's identity in Christ changed his convictions. What he once believed, he no longer believes. His convictions now are this: I preach the faith which once I destroyed. What Paul once believed was right was no longer right. His conviction changed, and your convictions must change because our convictions must be filtered through the Word of God. Tonight, I close with this. I would ask you this question. Does the Bible change what you believe? Does the Bible change what you believe? If the Bible says something different than you believe, are you willing to be changed by the Word of God? You know, church, the world is going to get worse. The lost are going to behave like the lost. You know what ought to concern us? When Christians, or those that claim the name of Christ, when they start to go against the Bible, there are many that are taking sides today in society against things like the gay movement and in abortion. These are hot topics right now in our country. And Christians are changing what the Bible says. The Bible sets our convictions, not what we want. The Bible dictates what we believe. What the Bible calls sin, we've got to call sin. One way to reach the world is not to become like the world. The way to reach the world is to have the convictions from the Word of God. So when the world is searching and the world needs something and the world's looking for hope and they're looking for answers, there's something very different, and it's called the Word of God. And we've got to stand. In order for us to stand in this day, we have to be sure that because of our identity in Christ, our convictions are different than before we got saved. You know, I believe this, Christian. We ought to stand out in the world.
How does a lighthouse whose light is shining not stand out in the darkness? I was born in Port Huron, Michigan. And there's a lighthouse there in Port Huron. Beautiful lighthouse. It doesn't serve its purpose just being beautiful standing there. It serves its purpose when it puts its light on. So those that need the way can find it. We as Christians, we need to be sure that because of our identity in Christ, our convictions have changed. We are different than before we were saved. Do you believe what you believe because you identify with Christ? I'm afraid that there's more divisions among Christians over non-biblical convictions than there are over biblical convictions at times. We need to be sure of this, that if the Bible says it, we stand upon it. The Bible's silent on it, let's be silent on it. There's enough in the Bible for us to stand upon and preach boldly and teach and change our belief and stand upon it. And we need to be sure of this, church, that our convictions line up to what the Word of God says. Why? Because we're identified in Christ now.